AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Beyond the Numbers. My name is Will. Me and my partner, Ben, are very excited to bring you the first episode of our podcast. Ben, you there?
Yes, definitely excited to bring you all this first episode. To tell you a little bit about this is a podcast designed to really dig into the heart of sports, right? Everybody, you know, that's listening to this knows what sports are. They read all the storylines. They get all excited about it. But like, we want to take more than just the numbers, right? The numbers are important, but they only tell half the story. So we really want to get into the nitty-gritty of sports, kind of what goes on behind the scenes, some of these stories of different players. We want to talk a little bit about everything. This is going to be something that we want to see go for a long time. I think you would agree.
I definitely do, sir. And I think this is going to be amazing, the way that we break down these games. If you all like to hear something outside of the norm, then you'll love this podcast. And I think we should just get into it now with the MLB, sir. How about you?
Yeah, I'm down. I mean, we got the playoffs coming up around the corner. So I don't know about you. Where do you want to start? National League or American League, sir?
Honestly, as an overall, you know how it's going. So we could start with the American League, with the Toronto Blue Jays knocking out the competition left and right.
Indeed. They are setting it at 89-62. Now, let me ask you this. Did you expect this at the beginning of the year, or even coming into the All-Star break?
Not at all, honestly. It was actually after the All-Star break that these guys started to like show completely out. I don't know what was in the water or whatever. Even their star, Vladimir Guerrero, he wasn't even halfway as good as what he was before the All-Star break for this last duration. And it hasn't mattered. It really hasn't mattered. Key players like Addison Barger and George Springer, they have actually showed up and came to show out, sir. I love to see it. And then we got the Yankees sitting at number two. I don't like the Yankees, and you know I don't. So I'm gonna let you snap off with this. I don't like it.
Okay. On the Yankees. Well, first off, I can't stand the hype of the Yankees. I find it to be very...
Me and you both, sir. I can't stand it.
I feel it's very frustrating. They're sitting at 84-67. They're a half game back over the Tigers for the number three seed. Now, obviously, their playoff odds are astronomically high. Like, they're at like 99% playoff odds right now. But they're sitting at five games back in the division. And my thing that really just irritates me about the Yankees, and I mean, I want to get back up and touch on the Blue Jays and some other teams here in a minute, but the Yankees are getting all of this hype for no good reason. I'm sorry, but
it's Aaron Judge.
It's
Aaron Judge.
Exactly. The whole Aaron Judge thing, just it's not, I'm sorry, but I don't think that one player should draw that much hype. I'm not trying to knock the team as a whole, but I really don't want to get onto the Yankees too long. I don't want to talk about them a lot, but I don't like them. I don't see them going all the way. I think they've dropped a lot of games that matter. Honestly,
they only beat the people that they're supposed to. Here, you're beating around the bush.
Yeah,
sir.
That's what it really boils down to.
The people that they are supposed to. That's it. When it comes down to it, Aaron Judge could have 6-7 games where he doesn't even touch the ball and nobody cares. As soon as he hits a home run, 1-5, everybody goes insane. Like, Aaron Judge, yes, the judge laid the hammer. I'm sick of it. I'm very sick of it, honestly. You know, I'm a Dodgers fan.
Of course.
So I'm a little bit biased. But this is not biasness. This is literally watching them drop balls in the outfield, not make passes to the infield correctly. Like, there's a lot of problems on the Yankees, and Aaron Judge does not outshine any of them.
I agree.
Not in my
opinion. I agree. I mean, honestly, I think that the biggest thing for the Yankees, right, is they kind of rolled through, I would say, kind of an easier road for a while. Like, let's look at it like this, right? I think that when you take into consideration that most of the teams around them have been performing down, and especially within the division, I think you find that it's easy to get to where they are off of the efforts of a handful of guys. I mean, right now, they do rank among the league's top offenses. I mean, they have their first in runs scored, right? And they're 15th in team batting average, which is really good. However, they cannot They struggle with on-base percentages, right? They're like in the middle. They've been caught stealing 40 times out of 125 attempts. That is not good. They struggle with making plays on the base path. They are a good team, but they've had a lot of ups and downs. You know, they had the longest win streak of 7 games, but then they also had 2 6-game losing streaks this season. Sir, we've talked about this before. They're up and down ride. It's a roller coaster. They're putting their fan base through a roller coaster, and it's ridiculous. And at the end of the day,
I can't say that I think they could do. I am very much sick of the Yankees hype. Honestly, I'd rather back any other team right now to win the playoffs. I don't care how good they're doing, because it's too much hype. There's too much hype. There's too much, what do you want to call it, emphasis on Judge, when the entire lineup, in my opinion, is you know, performing, you know, theoretically better. You know, he has the highest batting average, but when you go yard at pretty much almost every game, you're going to have that. But that's the only thing you do. Like, that's it. If you're not going yards, you're not doing anything else. And that's not okay to me. It doesn't, my gears. God. That's it. We're going to move on. We're going to move on to the Boston Red Sox. Or do you want to move to the Central League?
Okay. I like it. I like the Red Sox. They're 82-69 right now. They're sitting 2 games back. They have won 7 of their last 10. I mean, Devers, of course.
In my head, too little, too late. But go ahead.
I think so, too, because the thing about it is, even though they're sitting at, like, for the wild card, right, they're sitting at 88% odds of making it. But the thing about it is, right, even if they make it in, the chances of them getting through to the World Series is just crazy. Because, like, I want to talk about the top 3 teams right now that are in the division, right? For their divisions, you have the Blue Jays in the East, the Tigers in the Central, and then the Astros in the West. Now, let's look at some stats. We already kind of touched on the Blue Jays here, but they have currently a 77 chance per projection to clinch a playoff spot in probably their division. We've already kind of talked about Vladimir Guerrero, right? Like, he's got a 320 average over his last 10 games. He's been hitting really well. But we can't forget about Gausman, who's been pitching really well. I mean, in September, he's only at a 2.45 ERA. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero, he's been killing it. And really, here's the other thing, because
he's actually been playing down.
He has.
That was my whole point. He's been playing down for the past couple of months. Nobody's really been saying anything about it, but he's been playing down a lot, and it hasn't made a difference in their rise. Like, I love it. I love to see it.
I do too. I mean, and the thing about it is, right, is really all they need to really clinch this is they have to win one of their next 2 or get help from the Yankees losing. So, and it's funny, we talk about the Yankees losing, even if they do still make it into the playoffs, right? They still help the Blue Jays clinch. But the Blue Jays are definitely projected with the number 1 overall in the American League, which is really, it's shocking. But then we look at over in Central, right? We got the Tigers sitting at 85-65. They are 4.5 games over the Twins, who sit at 80-70. They have 99% odd to get their division, right? To win the division. They haven't clinched yet, but they have a 99% chance of doing it. And of course, the main name everybody thinks about at this point when it comes to the Tigers and their success. Can you guess who I'm going to say?
I would guess Riley Green, because that's the truth. Riley Green is pretty much the, you know, catalyst for their bet. And if he doesn't do anything, nobody else does. But everybody's going to say Tarik Skubal because he's a great pitcher, I guess. I feel like he's overhyped as well, but I'm sure you got another.
He has 18 wins with a 2.98 ERA. So, I mean, it's...
I like it. I like Skeens better, though.
I mean, well, okay, look, I think most anybody would like Skeens better. However, and we're not here to talk about the Pirates right now, but I don't know that.
There's nothing to talk about with the Pirates. I'm talking about Skeens.
He's elite. He's elite. But unfortunately, the difference between Skeens and Skubal is Skubal's helping their team get the wins. Skeens and the Pirates, really not until the second half of the season did it go the other way, right? Like, that first half of the year was pretty rough. They may have not been Colorado Rockies rough, but...
It wasn't rough for Skeens, though. Skeens still had the same ERA.
He did. That's the thing.
Skeens had like a 1.98 ERA all the way up until like July or something like that. I think he started letting up some runs right after the All-Star break. But he had like a 1.98 ERA for the longest part of the season.
I mean, dude's a beast. There's no doubt. I mean, if I was to pick a pitcher, like if you had to take and you had to get a starting pitcher rotation out of all of the starting pitchers in the league, Skeens would probably be my number one pick. Don't get me wrong. Skubal's good. Hunter Green's good. Maybe Yamamoto, maybe, when he's playing really well.
I wouldn't take Yamamoto. Me, personally, I'd take Kershaw.
He would be up there, too.
I wouldn't take Snell. Yamamoto is definitely one of the ones, though. You should probably take Yamamoto second, if anybody. Yeah.
I mean,
Clayton Kershaw is definitely the one.
Yeah, I mean, Kershaw's really good. I don't know. It'd be tough. I feel like, I don't know. But I still think I would definitely have to go with, first and foremost, Skeens, and then probably Hunter Green and Skubal, and then probably, like you said, it'd either be Kershaw or Yamamoto I would take. And then after that, it kind of opens up a little bit more to what you're looking for, you know, style wise, when it comes to pitchers, because all the pitchers, you know, you get some of them that are, they have very similar styles and some that are very different. So you don't want to have a lot of the same type of pitchers, but and at the end of the day, that's kind of irrelevant in the long run, because we all know we'll never get to see a setup like that where all of the most elite pitchers all play for one team. You know, we're not in the NBA here. We're not building dynasties out of stars.
You know how lit that would be? I would pay good money to see that on the MLB. I don't think the NBA actually did it right, if we're being honest. You know, there was a lot of missteps there. Could you imagine if they actually made a team with Ken Griffey, Barry Bonds, Randy Johnson at pitching, Pedro Martinez? Would you imagine Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, all of them just all playing on the same era on the same team? Sir, we're talking about 150 runs per night, at least 26 strikeouts, because that's the most you can get. My bullpen is better than you. I would love to see it.
That would be, there would be those games would be, it would be like watching, they'd be like the Harlem Globetrotters of the MLB. Like, literally, that's what they would be, because there would be no way to stop them. You couldn't beat them, both offensively and defensively. Like, you're talking some of the best players that have ever played the game. Some of them even, you know, not just about how great they are, but they changed the game. We're not even looking at it from just the perspective of their stats, because they all had such an impact on the game itself that, it's crazy.
Griffey, because we are moving on into the West, where the Seattle Mariners sit pretty high inside of it. And Cal Riley just tied Ken Griffey for home runs on the Mariners.
Now that's impressive.
Most home runs by a Mariner, sitting at 56 right now.
You know,
that is more than impressive, sir. That is legendary status. The big dumper is doing big numbers out there.
You know, I don't disagree. That is to be honest, I didn't even really hardly know who he was coming into the season. And then I just kept seeing his name. And
for good reason.
It's kind of crazy to me how guys like him come in and they change a team just, you know, based off their success, but also just around them, right? Like, I mean, Julio Rodriguez is doing just as good, in my opinion, as he is. And I mean, maybe not quite as many as, what, I think 25 home runs. But, I mean, he's
okay, I can see where you... I can see where you're coming from. Wait. Let me say this. I can see where you're coming from because he has a lot of the same hype that Aaron Judge does coming out of the gate this year. And a lot of people didn't know who Cal Raleigh was.
Right.
The problem is Cal Raleigh was destined for this season. And everybody that actually knew who Cal Raleigh was knew that it was coming. You see what I'm saying? So I wouldn't say that he came out of nowhere. I'd say that this was a long time coming and he just got his little rhythm right. That's it.
So,
at 56 home runs, he gets to do whatever he wants at this point.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then the question becomes, just kind of like when you look at, we talked about the Yankees earlier, right? The whole Aaron Judge thing. Let's say they make it, they go all the way, and then they lose. Do you do what they did with Aaron Judge and their loss, or... You know, do you lay it more down at the feet of the team? Like, I feel like when the Yankees lost, nobody wanted to blame Judge. And I might be wrong on that, but I feel like a lot of people didn't want to blame him.
I blamed him.
I think so, too, because there was this. But it's a team game. But then at the same time, it's not.
It's a team game. Here goes where your team falls in. They were so reliant on Judge last year. They didn't know what to do when he went 0-for-4 for the first three games of the series. They had no clue. And they all went crazy when he hit one home run. He went 1-for-4 in game 4. And he hit one home run and everybody went crazy. Like, oh, it's about to go down. They're back. The Yankees are back. How are the Yankees back? And it was just Aaron Judge that hit the home run. If I'm not mistaken, that it was only him.
Yeah.
So the problem is that's where the team falls at. The team falls where they're reliant on the star that much. And this year, they're more reliant on their backups on the bottom of their lineup. But even the bottom of their lineup isn't doing too much. They got a new addition with Ryan McMahon, and Ryan McMahon hasn't been able to unlock himself yet as a Yankee. Their rookie lineup with Jason Dominguez. Who else? Then you got, I think they started using Calibero, however you say his name. Jose Calibero. They started using him a lot, but it's not enough for the Yankees to me. The Yankees, as hyped as they are, as good as a team as they are, as much as I hate the Yankees, I can't say that they're not a great team, but they don't show it. They don't show it at all. They don't, like, I've never seen a Yankees performance that impressed me so much to where I was like, oh, they're about to change the game. I've seen a lot of them that have impressed me, but not that much. That 20 home run, that 20 run game that they had to start the season, amazing. It was epic. They made Nestor Cortez somebody, a legend in the game, legendary pitcher. They made him look like a guppy out there. He had to come out first inning.
Yeah. Okay. That was during the torpedo bat thing. And
those torpedo bats were never going to be a thing. I think that was just something to bring the hype to MLB this year.
Yeah, I agree.
I smell a plot. Something that didn't work out too damn well. That's why they didn't say anything. They haven't said anything else about a torpedo bat.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. I think it was designed to catch people's attention. Obviously, they sped up the game. You know, you have that brought into the equation. Even like just the way that they play now, it's fast paced, it's quick, it's like, I mean, innings don't last 30 minutes hardly like that anymore. If you had an inning that goes past 10 minutes almost, it's pretty crazy.
And there's a lot of hits in it. there was a lot of hits in that inning.
There was. It was a fun game, and I think it did exactly what it was supposed to do, right? I think it drew the attention that it needed to. I don't know that it did much more than that, and I think that's why it faded quickly, because everybody's questioning, like, hey, should we even let this be a thing? But, I mean, you got to think baseball over the years has had all sorts of little things. Players have had little tricks that they've used to do things, and they eventually always fade away. But
I mean, since then, we've had multiple record-breaking home run games. I think the Cubs, 8 home runs in one game. I think the Mets did the exact same thing with 7. We've had multiple games where home runs have been prevalent this year. Honestly, I think all the top home run hitters right now are sitting at 50. 50 home runs or better.
It's
really impressive. Let's see. With the, I think the only one sitting at 40 is Judge. Aaron Judge is sitting at 48 right now, and Genio Suarez coming in at number 5 has 45. But Kyle Riley has 56, Kyle Schwarber has 53, and Ohtani is sitting at a pretty 50. We've had home runs this year, and I'm not impressed. Like I tell you all the time, I want to see bat to ball every inning. I get it. There's cold pitchers out there. I don't want baseball to be all about pitching anymore, because it's been like that for some years now. It's all about how the pitchers are performing and not how the hitters are performing. Why? Because nobody's getting hits. Well, now we have a season where hits are more prevalent to the pitching too. So we're going to go ahead and put those together and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I mean, I like home runs, but I also like seeing the base path. You know, I think as a Reds fan, I think it sometimes is kind of fun because
that's all y'all do is run bases. That's all. If y'all go yard, it's a special occasion. I get it.
No. Okay, but
it's a special occasion, listen, sir. You know it.
Don't forget.
It's time to celebrate now.
Don't forget. Spencer Steer went 3-for-4 against the Padres like 2 months ago for 3 home runs. Listen.
Yes, I get it. I get it. You don't have to justify it.
When they go yard, they go yard always. The problem with the Reds, and I've been watching a lot of their games.
I believe Spencer Steer had one today. So, you know, I'm not trying to knock it.
Listen.
I'm just saying.
As a Reds fan, I know the struggle is we are a team that we get so close. We went for so long without being swept. We made it up until August before we finally had where we got swept in a series. That is insane. But they build this hype up. Like even now, like they got us just so close to the playoffs, right? Such a possible wild card aspiration. And we destroyed the Mets, right? Like we were competing with the Mets pretty much neck and neck to try to get into the running for wild card.
Something that I say was never going to happen. Well,
we roasted the Mets. That's the thing.
Yeah, I said, I give them the props. Like I said,
but then we
I give them the
around
props.
And lost. They just don't have it all together. Couldn't afford to lose.
That's the story of the Reds.
We're not here to talk about the Reds, but right now, but like at the same time, sometimes I find myself thinking, what will it take for them to finally get there? And I think, honestly, if Ellie would just actually not swing at every single pitch that's thrown his way, or my favorite is when he's sitting at like maybe 1-for-3, you know, and it's in the, you know, the 9th inning and man has to crack a home run or something, or, you know, we got the bases loaded and he just strikes out looking like just looks like he's not even interested in playing. Like that is my problem with the Reds is our guys are like, some of our guys are there, right? Like they want to play. Like Marte, the dude plays with heart. He plays with focus and he chases the ball. He plays really, really well. Friedel, Lux, Steer, they all have their games and they all seem to play with, I would say, a passion, but the problem is that you got a few guys who just don't step up when they need to. They can play well all year, and in the clutch moments, they don't. McClain has been a disappointment this year, in my opinion, and I am a McClain fan. Ellie has been a massive disappointment. I don't care what his stats say, because at the end of the day, your stats are only so useful, and when you're not even in the top, he's in the top 20. He's not even in the top 25 for home runs. The man was predicted to be one of the leaders in home runs this year, and yet he's not even cracked the top 25, I don't believe. I know he's not in the top 20. So
if I'm being honest, I don't see how they got that number anyway. Ellie's a contact hitter. Yes, he can go yard, but he doesn't have the power to do that on a consistent basis like Aaron Judge or Kyle Riley or Shohei Ohtani. None of them. He doesn't have that type of power. He's a contact hitter. Triples, doubles, he can do that.
I agree. I mean,
and that's mostly because of speed.
Well, let's be honest, but though. He had 25. He had 25 last year.
I get it.
He wasn't even that good. Here's the thing, and this is what I'm saying. Like, they predicted him to do this because he showed that potential. He had 25 last year. He ranked number 37 in home runs. This dude is supposed to be really good. I mean, if we look at, like, you know, okay, maybe we look at something besides that. Let's look at home runs. Let's look at what he did with home runs.
Early is a defensive monster.
Hits.
He is absolutely a defensive beast. The problem is anybody that had him going for multiple home runs this year, I get it. He did it once. He may have done it twice. I don't know. I don't know Ellis history that much. But I do know that he is a contact hitter. He is not a power hitter. Nowhere near it, actually. He's not what I would be called a power hitter. So why would you think that he's about to go for multiple home runs on any given occasion? It'd be special when he does.
But that's the thing.
It's special. It's a special thing.
You would expect more, though, because let's say not home runs, right? Let's even talk about RBI. Like, he's not, even last year, right? Like, when you look at RBI, we look at the top 25. He isn't there. He came in last year at, I'm in the top 50, and he's still not even there, dude. Like, he didn't do anything that great last year. He was he was 51. 51 with 76 RBI. It makes no sense. And this year, let's just see the number, just, you know, to see where he's at now comparatively. He was 51 last year, right? He's 32 now with 82. He's improved, right? You know, and he's still young. There's one thing about it. He's still young. And he is really fast. He's good on the base. He's a really good shortstop. He can make some crazy athletic plays. And his arm is really good. He throws very accurately. And he gets, especially whenever you watch him throwing from halfway out, it feels like in the outfield where he made some crazy play and he eats the ball to first base. Like, it's insane. The dude's super good. But just like a lot of these other teams that we could talk about, you could sit here and argue that, you know, these guys are... It's about the team aspect, or we could say it's about one person, but like at the end of the day, like it's consistent. They are. It doesn't matter if it's one person that's doing it or if it's the whole team, whoever or however many players it takes to get them there. It's got to be done in a manner that is consistent. And that is one of the things that a lot of these guys that we could talk about, they're not. Cal Raleigh, dude is consistent, super consistent. It's one of those things that just, it makes a difference, right? So like, and I mean, at the end of the day, Aaron Judge is too, right? Don't get me wrong. I mean, if we want to talk about the top leading average, it's Aaron Judge sitting at 326. Like, the dude is, he's consistent, but his team's not consistent. You know, Jacob Wilson, I mean, if we're talking about the A's, dude's consistent. He hits really well at 316. I mean, but when we were talking about the Reds and I go down in the top 25, none of our guys are there. None of our guys are, I don't even think we have anybody hardly in the top 40. Literally Gavin Lux is our highest average right now with 267. That's crazy. That is just crazy to me that we have nobody in the top 25 that is even averaging anything consistent right now. And then you just keep going further and further down. And it's just like, what's going on? But I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I mean, Ellie's a 263. So, I mean, TJ Friedel, 259.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Reds, but.
The Reds, I let you go about your team because I know it hurts your feelings. it's a sad story when it comes to the Reds most of the time. And it's mainly just because of performance. Their performance is shaky. They make shaky decisions at the worst times. It affects them, as it should, honestly. I don't know. But let's move on.
Indeed.
We're going to move on into the
National.
I believe we were in the West.
Yeah, we were talking about, we got a little tripped up who is leading in the West there because of how close they are between Seattle and Houston, with Houston being half a game back. But by no means do I want to just glaze over the Astros. I mean, they are doing really good. So I'm not knocking them. I'm not seeing that.
Honestly, the show's doing pretty well. So
I'm kind of with you on that. I think they might be the sleeper team that could potentially do it. However, as much as the American League is fun, and I think they have some super good teams, I want to get into the National League because, let's be entirely honest, in my opinion, a vast majority of the hyped up teams are in the National League. Even the ones that aren't doing as well are somewhat more dynamic. And there is so much more to talk about. Not trying to, you know, you got the Yankees, but like, and then the Tigers kind of. But like outside of that, like for the sake of just like crazy teams and just some of the crazy numbers, let's be honest. The National League, in my opinion, I think at least, is where all of these good games come from. And
I would agree.
I think we should start in, we've already been talking about the Reds, so we'll just kind of go with the Central.
All right.
Milwaukee. Coming up. What do we got about Milwaukee? About the Brewers.
I'm going to be honest. The Brewers have been impressive. It's exactly what the top of the Central Division. We saw this last year from the Brewers. I believe they ended up falling to the Padres. The Padres did them do dirty, and it's because as good as the Brewers are and as good as their lineup is and pitching, immaculate, they don't have what it takes to keep it consistent. And that's a big problem when you're going up against top teams like the Yankees or the Padres or the Dodgers or anybody else. You can't not in those situations. And the Brewers love to, you know, mess up in key moments. So I don't really want to say that the Brewers are going to keep it going. But if they do, it'll be a nice little run and they'll have something to brag about for this season.
Okay. I respect it. I think that when it comes down to when we look at the Brewers, I mean, they're a great team. They have the ability to do things. I think that it might still be, like you had said, they might fall flat this year, though. I mean, they've got a good team. I mean, you can't ever count out, you know, any of them. I mean, Contreras does really well. You got Yelich. You got so many good players on the Brewers, but their performance is going to be the question when it matters the most. Now, they have some pretty good hitters, and they do have a surprisingly good ability to drive a lot of runs in. Actually, the surprise is as much as they have done this year. But I think the Cubs still might be the team to watch for, really, in the Central, if we're going to just talk about Central specifically.
Yeah, if you were to talk about the Cubs, you wouldn't be wrong, just because they've already took their break for this season, if you want to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they're not sitting at the top of the division, and it's because they took a break. After the All-Star break, they all just got a little bit lackadaisical. It's okay. Because now they can come back for the playoffs and cook up if they want to. So I think we're looking at two teams that have the potential to do whatever they want to, as long as they get their consistency in order. Because the Cubs have the exact same problem. Pitching is great. Hitting lineup is crazy. Just, you know, some days they don't feel like it. And it shows. It definitely shows.
It does. Okay, so let's talk about the East. The Phillies.
Northeast? You want to talk about the daggone Phillies? I can't stand them.
I think that the Phillies have such a good chance of taking the series. I really do.
And that's exactly why I don't like
it. I think that, honestly, I think that they might be the team because they're not the team, right? Like, they're not. I think a lot of people might would say that they're like, okay, the Phillies are one of the top teams to do it. But I feel like for all their wins that they have, I don't feel like they are, right? I feel like there is more. I feel like they're still kind of an underdog in comparison. Like, if I would have put them up against the Brewers to, you know, get a spot and go into the World Series for the National League, I think a lot of people might would even say that the Brewers win, or even if it was to be a talk about between the Dodgers and the Phillies, I think most people would probably say the Dodgers would do it. But if you were to put the Phillies up and say, okay, compare them to the Mets or the Cubs or let's say the Padres, I think a lot of people would say, oh, well, yeah, probably the Phillies. But if you compare them to the Dodgers or the Brewers, I think there would be an argument there that the Phillies may not be the most likely out of the top three teams in that in the conference to go. So I think that's what it boils down to.
More than an argument.
That
the Phillies are a great team. They are. But are they the best? No. And they show exactly why pretty much once every week.
Would you say that, and mind you, when we're talking about the National League, they have the second best record. They sit right behind the Brewers, right? The Brewers are 92-59. The Phillies are at 91-61. So the second closest team in league is the Cubs at 88-64. So again, when we would talk about the Cubs and the Phillies, we probably would say the Phillies, right? So when we look at records, it doesn't tell us everything. But if I was to sit here and ask you right now, if these teams were competing to go into the World Series to get their spot in the National League, Phillies, Brewers, who wins that?
The Brewers.
Exactly. If I was to sit here and say, oh, Dodgers, Phillies competing for their spot, who's taking that?
That would be a hard win because that is an evenly matched team. The Dodgers and the Phillies have a lot of similarities.
Okay, pitching, Dodgers and Brewers.
Hitting all of it. Right now, the Brewers.
Okay, so.
Because the Dodgers aren't performing the way that they need to.
The Brewers, based off of that, have the most to lose. And then probably I would say the Dodgers and the Phillies, even though they're very similar, the Phillies, I don't think, have the rotational depth when it comes to their batting order that the Dodgers have. The Dodgers have more players that are capable of so much more, in my opinion, in their lineup and their rotation than the Phillies. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Phillies couldn't compete with that. I mean, they have some really, really good pitchers. I mean, Zach Wheeler is incredible. And they have an incredible bullpen. They have a 2.10 ERA as a bullpen. That is great. I mean, honestly, they're a favorite to win the World Series in many formats. But, I mean, really, the Brewers, honestly, I think a lot of people would say that they are the better team to do it. And then the Dodgers, they're just the rotational depth is crazy with their pitching and their batting. There's not a lot. And here's the other thing. You know, we talk about the Phillies and the Dodgers. We have games with the Phillies and Dodgers that are going to be happening this week. So we're going to see already what probably will be a potential matchup down the road here in the playoffs. So I don't think that we're going to have to wait too long to get a good answer on that question. But I definitely think that the toss-up comes between the Phillies and the Brewers, which is interesting because when you look at it from that perspective, are we sitting here saying that the Dodgers may not go back?
And you know, it hurts my heart to say this. They might not, just because something's off with the Dodgers. It's something that's not been talked about enough, and it's mainly because Shohei's still doing what he's been doing. But they had a nice start to the season. But if you paid attention, that nice start to the season came from their backups. It didn't come from their stars. It didn't come from the people that it should have came from, pretty much. And now we're seeing the fact that, okay, Mookie Betts, he played sick pretty much for the first 4 months. Like, you got Freddie Freeman, who, as good as he is, he's old. So, yeah, he may not have what it takes to, you know, get the whole team on his back, you know? And then you got Shohei Ohtani. He's been pitching this year. He's been trying to save his arm, doing the same thing, you know, home run-wise and hitting-wise, but we haven't seen the same productivity on bases. We haven't seen the same productivity in Max Muncy. We haven't seen the same productivity in pretty much anyone else like that we did last year. The reason why we won this World Series last year is an entire reason, and it wasn't just Shohei. It was because the entire team showed up at bat. There was a whole time where if you walked Shohei because you didn't want him to hit a home run, oh, here comes Mookie, you know? Oh, here comes Freddie. You know, there was no like getting around the Dodgers for a long time last year, and it got them to the World Series. And there's a lot of ways to get around the Dodgers this year, and people have seen it. There's a lot of ways to get around. There's a lot of games that they dropped that no reason why y'all just dropped this series. Not to them. There's not one reason. The Dodgers are the Dodgers, and I say this all the time, and you can call it bias if you want to. Yes, they are my team, but they are the Dodgers, and they can always shake back. If they give them a chance in the playoffs, watch out. Because no matter how sickly they're playing, how disappointing they may be right now, they always have that chance to erupt for big games.
They do, but they also have some, I mean, let's talk about earlier this month, they got swept by the Pirates, sir. But, you know, and we're talking about the Phillies.
Once again,
they lost the first game against the Phillies, and they play them again tonight at 10:10 p.m. And they could get swept by the Phillies here, too, which could really be fun to see. And they're at home for Philly. Yeah, it's rough. But I don't know. I think there's so much we could talk about when it comes to the playoffs for baseball. We could spend probably, I don't even know at this point, just a never ending.
Well, I got more, sir. I got more. But
I feel
like we should move on to the NFL.
Yeah, I think we need to get into the nitty gritty of what this show probably right now is really about to go crazy on. And that is football. Look, I don't know about you, but the first 2 weeks, how do you feel that they have went the way that you thought they were going to go?
Yeah, pretty much. I pretty much called a lot of the things that's been happened for the first couple of weeks. The teams haven't really done too much differently. But I'm going to say not everybody called it the way that I did. So I know there's a lot of people that were surprised that, hey, the Eagles almost lost to the Cowboys? What? Is that what we're talking about? The Chiefs did lose to the Chargers? OMG. Like, that's our first two games, sir. Dak Prescott looked like prime out there. Like, he was actually doing major stuff after getting spit on. We're not talking about that enough. That man got spat on. And went out there and put up numbers. He almost beat the Eagles.
Let's be clear.
What's up?
That was personal at that point. I don't think anybody else on the team took it personal like Dak did. And I think Dak said, hold up. That man played like he was 10 years younger. He was running around like he was, you know, a knockoff Lamar, you know, like, dude was mobile. He had an arm. He looked like he's not been injured time and time again. He looks like he's actually worth getting paid what he's being paid. You know, now, to be fair, you know, I would say CeeDee Lamb let him down. But then again, I don't think it was really CeeDee Lamb. It was the rest of the team. And let me rephrase that. Williams. So surprising to see him get into the end zone, to see him perform at all, let alone to the level he did against that Eagles defense. And you're talking a defense that lost its key player one of its key players, I should say, on the defensive line at the least, in the opening play of the game, literally, because he decided to assault pretty much a player. Like, you know, when you're spitting on Dak, you can't. He took it personal. He took it real personal, I loved it. But I'll be honest, the only thing that I think really stopped that game from getting worse was I think that the Eagles just ran the ball so much and forgot about the receivers. If they would have truly got the passing game opened up, because let's be clear, there wasn't no stopping that Hurts Barkley combination. I mean, I'm sorry, it looks better this year than I think Derek and Lamar did last year. Like, the two of them, I think, are going to be a force to be reckoned with. You know, so let's be clear. The Eagles are not a team to be messed with. And the Cowboys, they may have turned around and won against the Giants in week 2. But let's remind ourselves of who they played and how they had to beat them. It was not an easy game. It was not a mollywhopping. It was a back-and-forth slugfest. The Giants have nobody. I'm sorry. Who? Russell Rusty Wilson? Jackson, the dashing dart, like, they have nobody. Scatabo, he ain't doing nothing yet. I mean, he tried, but they have nobody.
Hey, Scatabo is impressing people, though. Scatabo is definitely impressing people. Malik Nabers, I believe, had 2 touchdowns in week 1. 2 pass-ons in week 1.
But that doesn't change the fact.
I mean, receiving. That, yeah.
the Cowboys in a slugfest with the Eagles like they had should not have even remotely struggled against the Giants. Because let's have this, let's ask this question. Do the Eagles struggle against the Giants? Are they gonna have that same problem? No.
No. We both know that.
So
we both know that.
Look, we can sit here and talk about the Eagles in that Cowboys game, but I don't think it was a good reflection of what of that matchup. I think for a week one matchup, the Eagles came in, they set a tempo, right? They came in, you had Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott. Wild storyline. Wild. Let's get the fans into it. Like, hardcore. And you what? Like, and then that was the game. It was not an impressive game for the Eagles, but yet it was a good game, a real good game, because they won in a really a one style offense that they just ran. It was either Jalen or it was Saquon that they just ran, and it worked against a Dallas defense that does not have Micah Parsons anymore. My Lord, who would have thought that would have had that impact? Oh, wait. I'm pretty sure everybody but Jerry Jones. So,
Stupid. Again, that was probably the dumbest mistake before. That was probably the dumbest mistake we've seen so far. It didn't actually make any logical sense. We're talking about somebody that literally changes the way the defense is played. He's one person, but he changes the way that offenses look at everything. He changes the way that the defensive line plays. He changes everything. You're going to get rid of him?
It's crazy.
Because he's hard to do. What?
And then you send him to Green Bay. My Packers. Listen.
They won with that one.
They did.
They had it. There was nothing lost with that.
No, them first round picks don't. Kenny Clark getting old, let's be honest. And he has a presence. He's trying in Dallas, but no. Kenny Clark ain't gonna do what Micah Parsons does. And them first round picks are not guaranteed on anything, right? Like you're getting rookies. You don't know what you're getting. You're taking a gamble. Packers said, bet, you want this? Have our leftovers. Have fun. And we are 2-0 in Green Bay. 2-0. That is just crazy, because as much as I love the Packers, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't actually really have the full confidence that we were going to beat the Lions in week one. And we did. And we did it because part of Micah Parsons. The dude is just such a game changer. He makes offensive schemes look like Pee Wee football sometimes. Like, he blows up the backfield. It doesn't matter if he hits you. He's so aggressive, and he's got such a fierce rush. Every time you put any offensive lineman, he's going to smoke him after a moment. You put a running back to chip him, chip blocking, no. That running back won't be on the ground. Irrelevant. Irrelevant in every aspect, in every way. The answer is just no. So Micah Parsons definitely was it was the best thing that could have happened to Green Bay, in my opinion. But he is a game changer, and I think Dallas doing that going into a week one matchup against the reigning Super Bowl champs. Well, Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones, and I think he's been fleecing Dallas and fleecing the NFL for a long, long time. I mean, we go back as far as Dez Bryant and have a conversation about how he made a name for himself doing it then, but most people don't want to have that conversation, so. Let's talk about. Well, I mean, is there even any argument that a person could come up with that would even go against that? And I mean, because let's be clear, he's the only owner that I know of in the league ever that has had such a hands-on aspect of what happens with the team. Owners don't do that. They just fund the team, get them the best people kind of thing, and la-di-da-di-da. Off to the races. Dallas has been a legendary team, and I'm not knocking their history. One of the most prolific football teams in the NFL's history. Many, many, many good seasons back to back to back to back. They're another one of those teams that's like, for example, my Packers, we could go to the playoffs consistently year after year. Might miss a year here and there, but there's no way that like anyone will sit there and think of the Packers as a team like the Browns. The Browns are prolifically terrible. They're prolifically poor. But the Cowboys, prolifically.
Can we say something?
Yeah.
About the Browns real quick?
Okay.
When are we going to go ahead and put it in Shador?
Yeah.
When are we going to put... Matter, I'll take Pickett at this point.
Sir.
Put somebody else in.
Sir, they're not going to play Shador. Yeah. Come on now. You know this. Like...
It's pathetic at this point, sir.
I mean, look at the whole situation with Jenkins.
If we're talking about... If we're talking about, like, the smartest decisions to make in the NFL, Flacco was y'all's choice?
Well... To be fair, he was already
Flacco.
He was already there. I get the decision with it, right? But then you just keep stacking quarterbacks. I mean, Keyshawn Judkins, look at that whole situation there. Like, it's crazy.
No, they are 0-2.
Well, yeah, they are. Now, here's the only thing I want to say about the Browns.
They haven't had a win.
Here's the only thing I want to say about the Browns. The Browns are still a very, very, they are
you say
an anomaly.
Don't you say
and the reason
young.
I say that is look at, what, young? Huh?
I thought you were going to say young. I was going to say don't. I'm letting you go. Go ahead.
No.
Because statistically, they are an anomaly to me. They're making dumb moves. Dumb moves.
No. Yeah.
Play anybody else but Flacco. You stacked quarterbacks and picked Flacco?
I would pick the veteran.
Come on, man.
Okay.
I don't care.
Hold on. But okay. Think about this. Okay. you got to pick Flacco. You have to. The dude is still a legitimate quarterback. He's still got an argument to make that he's competitive. It doesn't mean that he's your starter the entire year.
Legitimately done for the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, what has he legitimately done?
I mean, he hasn't. It doesn't matter if they won or lost. It's not all on him. That defense lost abysmally to the Ravens. I mean, Derrick Henry got bored, I'm pretty sure, and they just stopped playing with him. My fantasy league took a nasty hit because of that game. Like, you know, thanks, Derrick. You know, you ran, I think it was like 11 times. He got bored. Like, the Browns' defense was horrible, but yet the Bengals beat him by 1 point. It was like, what, 17-16? Like, sir, again, just no. It ain't Flacco's fault. He's a veteran quarterback. He's old. He's got nothing around him in Cleveland that's going to get him anywhere. But when it comes down to it, I would rather have the veteran out there trying to see if he can figure something out than putting maybe one of my future stock quarterbacks out there to have their career destroyed, like Johnny Manziel, almost Baker Mayfield. There's a like
Joe Burrow throwing for 113 passing yards in that game, 14-23 with a touchdown. Okay. They still won the game. Compared to Flacco's 290, 31-45, one touchdown, and two interceptions. My problem is coming in. Why are we not trying something new? The Browns have the special opportunity that a lot of teams do not get. They get to try something from the bottom. From the ground up, y'all are already kicking rocks at this point. Y'all are already grinding gravel, working in a coal mine. That's what y'all are doing right now. So why not try everything new? Why not do something? Their draft picks didn't even make any sense, sir. None of them. We're talking about a team that had no good quarterback, really. And their first pick was an offensive lineman. An offensive lineman. You didn't even get a defensive lineman. You got an offensive lineman.
They knew they had to protect Flacco.
What are we talking about here? So the Browns have a big problem. It has nothing to do with talent. It has everything to do with decision-making. There's somebody in that office that's like, nah, this is what we doing.
Okay, so
I don't care what the league doing. This what we do. I don't like it. I don't like
well,
it.
Well, I mean, Cleveland is notorious about they just sometimes I think they play their own game. I don't think they realize that they're in the league sometimes because for a team to be as abysmal as the Browns have been for so long, I think they forget that they're NFL. But to be fair, I'm pretty sure Cleveland, the Browns are inevitably I think I saw somewhere, and I have to go look it up and confirm it, but I've heard something about the Browns possibly leaving Cleveland, which would be an interesting change. Sometimes I wonder if, like, that with Cleveland as a city if they are just like, you know what, it's a river city. It's a, we're just going to be terrible. So we always have our fans angry and, you know, I went to a Steelers game, okay? I go to a Steelers game. I got spit on multiple times by Browns fans. And I'm not even a Steelers fan. I was there with my friends. I was wearing my Packers apparel. And I got spit on because the Steelers were doing well. And I'm over here like, yay. Like, I don't care about either one of you. Both of you suck. No.
I'd have never finished that game, sir, me personally. But you go off.
I didn't pay. They paid for me to go. And it was Ben Roethlisberger's last game of his career outside of that little playoff game that he, I guess, played in the following, in that year. But and it was...
They would have needed Big Ben and the rest of the Steelers to get me up off a little bit. Just spit on me, sir. Oh.
It was a bad game. Big Ben doesn't run well, and Baker Mayfield was still the Browns quarterback, and well... I never thought I would have saw that in real life. Like, for that as an NFL game to go to was, sir, it was not good. It was not good.
Copy that. I'm an idiot. I just.
Browns fans, just, yeah, that's the atmosphere that they have in Cleveland, and the Browns have continued to foster the dog pound, where they get pounded every game. Anywho.
Every game.
Let's hit on a couple of other things real quick here with the undefeated teams. I want to talk about the Colts, and I want to talk about Danny the Dot Dimes.
What happened in that game?
They're undefeated, 2-0, sir. 2-0, and they went.
I'm speaking about my Dolphins.
Oh yeah, no, sir. That was. They have a really long year, and I'm sorry, but when the coach pretty much just hangs his head on the sideline and he just looks like he don't want to be there no more,
he looked lost. He looked. Did you see that?
I did, and I.
I don't understand. It was like when every time it panned to him, I wanted to jump through the screen and shake him. Did somebody slap him? Somebody needed to slap him to wake him up.
I think he might have, like, borrowed to his helmet and did some drills on the field and picked up a concussion, sir, because the man looks lost. And in his post-game interviews, I don't 100% know, but I don't know that he knows where he's at, because I don't think he knows that he's a coach in the NFL. Because if he is...
Okay, back to Daniel Jones. I can't do this. This is crazy.
It's going to be a long year for you, man. It's going to be a real... We're going to have a lot of fun conversation. Dolphins are... Oh, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Chain. Yeah.
Daniel Jones, though.
Wow. Came from the Giants and...
That boy came. He had a rushing touchdown. He had two rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown. He did... Epic numbers, 272 with one touchdown, 22 targets made off of 29 attempts. He did his thing with the Dolphins. And it was a dark, dark, dark time watching that game. Daniel Jones, I don't see how, we're talking about the guy from the Giants, right?
What?
Like, he was the guy, like, the Giants didn't do anything last year, right?
Correct.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? Where did this man come from?
Well,
I guess if you leave the Giants, you become an all-star. Because Saquon Barkley did the exact same thing last year.
You know, I was
left the Giants, and then he's the most elite running back ever.
Yep, and now apparently Danny Dimes is going to be a potential, who knows, could be a playoff-style quarterback. Wild. Now, I don't know that the... It's all him. You know, granted, you got Jonathan Taylor there running the ball, and Jonathan Taylor's great. Michael Pittman's an amazing receiver. He has a good cast around him offensively, and they have been building their defense. As a team, the Colts are one of the... Is it me, or, like, does Indiana just get slept on? Because the Pacers showing up in the playoffs last year, going to the finals and losing to the Thunder.
As they deserved to, sir. They did not deserve to
but
be there.
Indiana.
I'm not going to tell you this again.
And the WNBA, sir. The WNBA, Indiana.
putting them in the playoffs. Right now, the Colts are a 2-0 start when there are a lot of teams that should have had at least a 1-1 or a 2-0 start, but the Colts have it. Crazy. So IU, they just had an amazing game last week. Let me rephrase. They played really well, but their competition was low. So we'll just leave that alone. But the Colts, Indiana, they're producing teams. I don't know where it came from, but I'm for it. Another 2-0 team. I know you wanted to kind of talk about this, and maybe we can kind of start wrapping it up here with them. So I'll list off the other undefeated teams right now, but I know you want to talk about the Bucks. So the Bills, we kind of figured that they were going to be a good team. They beat the Ravens. It was a great game. Probably, in my opinion, one of the best games so far this year.
Actually, if you want to
laugh, I'm all for it. It's a great game. I love it. I love both teams. I think both teams have a lot of potential. The Ravens bounce back, smoke the Browns. I mean, it is what it is. The Bengals, we don't have to talk too much about them right now. This is going to be an entirely different team come this week. The Chargers, to beating the Chiefs, I think, is the biggest thing, right? They were down in Brazil. They beat the Chiefs, and they made a case that they could be a contender. We'll see as the year goes on. But they are 2-0. The 49ers got what? Mac Jones, I believe, is the one that's down there now, and he's their quarterback. They could do something, but they have a lot of injuries. Kittle's on the IR. That's a team that has been depleted over the last couple of years. They are an example of a team that has been in the window and then came through and is now on the other side of the window, and it is closing. Their hopes and aspirations are down. You know, they thought Brock Purdy was going to be the guy. They had CMC, they had Debo, they had Ayuk, they had Kittle. They've had some of the best defensive players in the league, but it's winding down, and I do think that they are on the verge of completely being out of contention. But they're 2-0. The Cardinals, little fella Kyler Murray, you know, I don't know how I don't know what he's done and what they've done. Him and Marvin Harrison have a connection. And of course, you can't really forget about the whole thing with their tight end over there. It's great. You know, they look really good. The Rams, 2-0. The Packers, 2-0. Both teams, surprising. I would have said 1-1, I think. But I know you really wanted to hit on the Bucks. 2-0 for Tampa Bay. What you got?
Baker Mayfield looks so locked in for me. The games have been fun to watch so far. Let's say that. And with their new rookie, Mika, that guy he's showing out.
Yes.
He's actually the only rookie that I've seen showing out the way that he has so far this year. 2 weeks, and I believe we have at least 3 receiving touchdowns already. He might be in the running, you know, for all time. If he keeps this up, let's see how the season goes for him. And I want to follow the Bucks this year, specifically because Baker Mayfield. But Baker Mayfield shines because of the people around him. So,
and this is something we need to pay a lot of attention to with the Bucks right now. Baker is not 100%. He is not in a position, in my opinion, like the game against the Texans was horrifically terrible for that offensive line. Terrible. They were down. They went down what? They were down Wirfs, and then what is it? Was it Gonicki or something like that? I can't say his last name. It's, I don't know why, but every time I say it, it just sounds terrible. But they were out multiple linemen, both as a start and by the end of the game. They struggled to protect Baker, and Baker was running, and he was getting hit time after time. He shook off a couple of pretty clear injuries, in my opinion, but he was just, he's hardcore. He gets up, stares him down, and plays. And I like Baker for that. I like his resiliency, but I do think that we need to watch that when it comes to the Bucks, because I think if we're going to talk about quarterbacks getting hurt, we've already got enough of those. But I think he's one that will wind up being out. I think probably if this continues the way it's going right now, probably within the next 2 weeks, he's probably going to be sidelined because the dude was getting smacked. And it's not his fault, but they didn't have a great running game going there. And I mean, Bucky Irving is really good. I like him. He had a really good year last year. I think his ceiling is very high this year, but that offensive line. that offensive line. You can only bully a defense as a running back for so long before your offensive line, with it failing you as much as I think they kind of did. Yeah. Because, I mean, here's a metric. If you want to talk about betting or fantasy football, a metric that will tell you if this running back is going to have success is the sack ratio that happens to the quarterback. Why is it that way? One, tells you how the offensive line plays. If they can't pass pro, they're not going to run block. They can't stop the defense. So you're letting your quarterback get hit time after time, constantly. You're having quarterbacks being sacked or they're getting hit. So there's pressures, right? Those are the stats that you actually look at when you want to look at running backs. And you want, especially if you're like, you're somebody who puts a lot of money into betting or into paid leagues for fans, you want to make sure you're looking at stats that not everybody thinks of. It's not who's having the most touchdowns right now, who has the best offensive line based off of, you know, pancakes or just the overall like health, right? You want to look at what the quarterback, what's happening to the quarterback, because you're only going to know based off of the quarterback what the team dynamic is. That's why they're the field general, right? Your receiver, when you're picking a receiver, if your quarterback's struggling, you're not going to pick a receiver who's going to, quarterback that's getting sacked all the time, or a quarterback who can't throw accurately. You know, you're going to look at hurried, what percentage are they having to roll out of the pocket on? Is that pocket collapsing? That's going to tell you if that running back's going to have a shot in the dark of having a good year up the middle. If you got a tight end who can't, you know, you're looking at the tight end and you got a quarterback who's getting hit a lot, that tight end's probably going to be blocking a lot, right? Your running back probably going to be blocking a lot. And I think the thing with the Bucs is that's the reality of where they're at. Based off of the week one and week two, Baker is got a lot of struggles coming to him, and that's going to be that offensive line rotation. And it's always been a problem, I think, for the Bucs. But I mean, you could even go back to like Tom Brady's time. He got hit a lot, right? Jameis Winston, he got smacked a lot in Tampa. I mean, it's been a kind of an ongoing issue with the Bucs. But I don't know. I do like the Bucs. I want to see what happens there. I like Kate Otten. I think he'll have a good year again as a tight end. Tight end-wise, Trey McBride over there in Arizona, right? Him and Kyler have a good connection. Kate Otten and Baker have a good connection. Travis and Mahomes, my goodness, they do not have a good connection this year. But anyway, the Vikings, I was kind of curious to see how that was going to go with McCarthy and Hockenson, but I guess we're not going to see that, really, at least not for a few more weeks, but that's all I've got on it. We could go on and on and talk for hours. At the end of the day, I guess really, if we were to sum all of this up, I feel like, you know, lots of crazy stuff getting ready to happen with the NFL playoffs for baseball. We could go back and forth for hours and talk about why these teams are what they are and if they should or they shouldn't be there. Let's be honest, until we get into the playoffs, I don't know that we're going to see enough to really tell us, because a season is a long season in Major League Baseball, you know.
I do not have too much more that I don't have too much more that I actually want to add on. You pretty much covered it. you were going off of a little bit. So what I'm going to end with is Thursday, my Dolphins got a chance to redeem themselves. And oh my gosh, we play the Bills, sir. Thursday night football. Bills.
Two is out.
Hey. I will not take the Dolphins slander on this podcast. We just got here,
and we already look like your coach already looks like he done left.
Copy that. But we gonna see how week three goes. We gonna see how this looks on paper come week three. We would love to see you guys come back on Saturday, so we can address everything that's gonna happen on Sunday. That's about it. That's all I got, man. What you got?
That sounds good to me. I look forward to watching the Bills have a good game and the Packers destroying the Browns. And on that note, outside of the fun game between the Battle of the Backups in Minnesota and Cincinnati, thanks for tuning in and be prepared for a whole lot more.